So today's Torah portion, it's very interesting Torah portion. Shelach, sent on your behalf. And I want to ask you to read with me the places from the scriptures, to be with me in the scriptures, because I will speak about few unusual ideas today. So maybe you never saw it before, but I would like you to invite to read the scriptures with me. But first, I want to mention the last Torah portion, a last Haftorah portion, actually. Zechariah, we read from about the Spirit of the Lord on Zerubbabel. And I want to repeat it because the main subject will be this verse from the scriptures. The Lord told them, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Adonai Tzevaot. Let's say together, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Adonai Tzevaot. You know, I can stop here. It could be already a message for us. The main idea in our lives, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Today I wish to talk about the problems we faced in life and to contrast our perspective on those problems with the perspective of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, often it's completely different perspectives. Sometimes we see situation one way and the Holy Spirit completely another way, His way. Okay, a little bit fun here. I thought, who it was? That's me, okay. Who was that? Okay, today's Torah portion, Shelach, sent on your behalf, and I want to review this chapter, and we'll go from there. So let's open chapter 13. This is very famous story about children of Israel, about spies, 12 spies, who went in the promised land to spy the land, to find everything about the land. From the verse 1, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, send some men on your behalf to investigate the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Bnei Israel. Each man you are to send will be a prince of the tribe of his fathers, a man from each tribe. Let's say together, prince. So it means the elder of the tribe, the main one, the boss. Let's say this way, the prince, representative from each tribe. So according to the word of Adonai, Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All the men were princes of Bnei Israel. It was not just somebody from the tribe. It was princes, the main people from each tribe. So Moses selected the 12 princes, one from each tribe according to the Lord's instruction, and sent them into Canaan to spy out the land. And we know the story already, what is happening next. But you know what's interesting? In that time, they don't knew about this story. They couldn't open next chapter and tell each other, everything will be fine, no problem. It was their story of life. We have our stories of life. We don't know our future, but this is the story of trust to the Lord. So let's read verse 5 and 6 here. One of the princes, according to verse 6, was from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Let's say together, Caleb. And keep him in mind, because it is a very interesting fellow, and we will be talking about him today. I will mention about him. Actually, I will repeat myself. I spoke about it a few years ago, but it's important for us to remember. So, the 12 spies visited Canaan and returned to Moses with their report of the land. And it was a great report. the perfect report, almost like Florida, almost. Florida with more milk and more honey. But let's read the same chapter, verse 26. They traveled and returned to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community of Bnei Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruit. They gave their account to him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. This is some of its fruit." And I want to make, I'm going to stop here. So this is the promised land. They were to enter this promised land. So this was the goal of their traveling. This is why they went out of Egypt. This is why they had so many trials, because they want to enter the promised land. And now they're one step from this promised land. Only one step. Just cross the river. This is the land from the Lord. So you need to remember. So the verse 28 is going on. The report is going on. So land is beautiful. Fruits are great. But, and I like this word but or except. Sometimes in our lives, this word's too much, but or except or something. Except the people living in the land are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Smallest than Jacksonville, but still very large. We even saw the sons of Anak there. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it." I like the Caleb's response. He's quieting people. Everything's okay. We will go it our land. Verse 31. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we." They spread among Bnei Israel a bad report about the land they had explored, saying, "The land through which we passed to explore devours its residents." So eating the residents. It's impossible to live there. "All the people we saw there a man of great size. We also saw there the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs." So grasshoppers wants to capture the land. Can you imagine this picture? This is how they view themselves, these 10 people, 10 spies, mighty men of God, grasshoppers, mighty grasshoppers trying to take the land. And we know the results of this story. We know what's happened next. In the chapter 14, let's read from the verse 14. All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices. The people wept. Can you imagine? 2 million people wept in the same time. Oh, it was very loud. It was very sad. 2 million people wept. All Bnei Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They say to each other, verse 4, "Let's choose a leader and let's go back to Egypt." What to say here? What to say here? 2 people against 2 million people. Can you imagine the size of problem for these people? Caleb and Joshua Ben Nun. They stood against 2 million people, literally. Their opinion against 2 million opinions. I mean, one opinion in 2 million people. And we know how displeased the Lord was with their response. And as a result of their rebellion and lack of faith, he commanded them to wander for 40 years as a result of their rebellion. and eventually die in the wilderness. Only two people of that old generation, entire generation, Joshua Ben Nun and Caleb, were allowed to enter the promised land. Two people out of 2 million people. So this story, these chapters, tell a story of contrast, disobedience and fear of the people of Israel, contrasted with the faith and courage of two people, Joshua Ben Nun and Caleb. Do you see the contrast here? 2 million of people, they wept, they cried, with no hope, we will die. And I like this, let's go back to Egypt. You know, they went all the way through the wilderness, so many trials, problems. Let's go back, you know. It's easy for us to go back than to enter the promised land. It's very hard to understand, but, you know, it's easy to read. But to live through is a different thing when we live through our lives. So I want to speak about this man, Caleb, and who is he and what do we know about him. So first of all, he was the prince sent into Canaan from the tribe of Judah. So he was the prince of tribe of Judah. He was representative of tribe of Judah. Second, we know about him, he was man of great faith in the eyes of the Lord. Also we knew about it. And third, I want to read from the Numbers, verse 32, what scripture speaks about Caleb. From the verse 11, Numbers chapter 32. The man who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward will not see the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they have not followed after me with a whole heart, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who? The Kenizzite. Let's say together. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. What does it mean? Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Okay, let's read one more place of scripture. Looks like we are stuck here a little bit. Joshua chapter 14. One more thing about Caleb. From the verse 6, Joshua chapter 14. From the verse 6. Then the children of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Again, Joshua, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. So in the Jewish world, there's two opinions about who he was, why he was called the Kenizzite in the scripture. What does it mean? The first opinion, it's very usual for the Orthodox world, so I want to read it. An opinion of some in the Jewish world is that Caleb was called a Kenizzite because his stepfather, his half-brother's father, was named Kenaz. But for me, it's not clear in the scriptures, and I don't think it's so. So another opinion which I personally prefer is that Caleb's mother or father was from the tribe of Kenizzite. So the reason I speak about is because it's called here, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. If you remember, Ruth, the Moabites, and other places, scriptures. Kenizzites were descendants of Esau, who lived in Canaan, and generally considered an Edomite clan. This is in Genesis chapter 36, the verse 40 to 43. And if you read the also very interesting place in scripture, this is Genesis chapter 15. The Lord promises here the promised land, Canaan, to Abraham and to his descendants. And he told him, on that day Adonai cut a covenant with Abraham, saying, I give this land to you seed from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the Kenite, the Kenizzite. So this was the land of Kenizzites. Interesting place. So, but I don't know actually. The Lord knows concretely why he was called the Kenizzite. But these two options, these two opinions about Caleb, why he was Kenizzite. First, because of his family story. Second, because he was from the Kenizzite. So Caleb, a Kenizzite, had become a prince of the tribe of Judah, and he was able to lead the people of Israel into promised land. The great blessing upon Caleb's life. So what made Caleb different from the rest of the people? What was in him? Why he was different from them? An answer is in the chapter 14, Numbers, from the verse 24. Verse 24. Please look with me in the scriptures. Chapters number 14, verse 24. However, my servant Caleb, because a different spirit is with him, and he is wholeheartedly behind me, I will bring him into the land where he went. His offspring will inherit it. The two main ideas here. First, he was wholeheartedly behind me. In the Torah it said here, and he has followed me fully. This is means wholeheartedly. Followed me fully, completely. With me, after me. And different spirit is with me, Gaita Ruach Acheret Imo. Very interesting. Only once in the scriptures we find this place that the Lord say about somebody, the different spirit is with him. It's literally with him. The man, Caleb, was filled with faith, and the Spirit of God dwelt with him. Presence of the Spirit was always with the Caleb. His behavior was completely different from the behavior of rest of the Israelites. Spirit was with him. It's so great here. His heart was filled with trust in the Lord's promises, and his way of thinking was completely different from the others. And now I want to stop here for 1 second. Can you imagine when 2 million people has opinion about something? They sure this is true. We will die there. It's no doubt. Let's go back. And only 2 people had the courage to say no. We can go and take this land. Looks like something wrong with their head, yeah? So let's read the scriptures about 2 different opinions. And I like here, because this is great contrast for me. The first, this is Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. This is the opinion of 2 million Jewish people in the wilderness. And actually, all these opinions about food. About food. First opinion and second two. So let's read together. We also saw there the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs. And 1 verse before, it said, the land devours the people who live there, the eating people there. So they saw themselves as grasshoppers, the small ones, fearful ones. They saw these giants, they saw the problems, they saw circumstances around them. And this was real circumstances. This was not the myth. They saw these giants. But let's look what Caleb saw, what his point of view. The verse 9, chapter 14. Caleb went with these 12 people, with 11. So they were together, the same situation, the same circumstances, the same problems, the same land, everything the same. And Caleb, point of view. Don't rebel against Adonai and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them. These 10 saw the problems. They saw that they are food for these guys. Actually, Caleb saw and looked, oh, we will have good meal today. They're food for us. They're nothing for us. And you know what's one observation from my side? It's a very interesting observation. I think, it's my personal opinion, that Caleb did not have to convince himself in victory. If you don't believe in it, you will not convince others. You will not stand against 2 million people, against their opinion. You remember what they told about Caleb and Joshua ben Nun? The 2 million Jews said, let's stone them, let's kill them. They're a hindrance for us. They're difficult for us. They disagree with us. So he don't need to convince himself in victory, because victory was to be expected. He simply believed in the victory. This was his way of thinking, his trust to the Lord. It was strange for him why these people think this way. It's obvious. The Lord gave us this land so we can go there and have victory over this land. Completely different mentality, completely different way of thinking about, completely different way of view about things. And I believe you're already thinking about your life. We have so many examples in our life. Every day of our life we have to choose between two ways of thinking in our life. Or to see the problems, giants, oh, we will die here, let's go back to Ukraine. Or we will go forward, we will give victory. So this is our choice. And this place of scripture is wonderful. It's important. It's rich for this. So Caleb did not agree with them. When he was spying out the promised land, he saw God's promises and his blessings, even during these problems, among these problems. So I want to go a little bit more, and how do we have this different spirit? What was different in the Caleb's life? Already we read this. Caleb completely followed the Lord, and therefore he had the Spirit of the Lord with him. This was the main reason. He followed the Lord. So he knew the Lord. He knew his ways. He knew his character. He knew his promises. He already knows his miracles. Actually, all the people of Israel, they saw miracles from the Lord, but they forgot about miracles. But Caleb remembered. Caleb remembered. Instead of fear and hopelessness, he was confident in victory, because victory was given. And I want to remind, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So if the Spirit of the Lord is with you, you have different perspective of things. If you step out of the Spirit of the Lord, you have completely different perspective of the same situation. Everything the same, but it's up to you, up to you, up to me. This story reminds me the story of King David and Goliath, and I like this story too much and so much, and I know we know these stories too. So many times we read about it. When all Israel were in fear and trembled before Goliath, only one young man came forward, trusting the Lord, and he gained a great victory for all Israel. One man was different from all nations. One man had a completely different mentality or point of view. One man was grounded in faith. Do you remember the story about David when he went to fight with Goliath? His brothers saw him and told him, why you came here? You want to make fun of us? Because they were hiding, they were afraid, trembling. So David came to gain victory, and actually first resistance was not from the enemy, but from his own brothers. If you remember when a prophet came to anoint David, his father forget about David. This son, second son, third son, and now another. And the prophet said, must be one more son you have here. You forget somebody. Left alone, you know. And father, oh, yeah, thank you for reminding me. I have one more. He is on the field with the sheep. And this one with the sheep, he was different from others. Why? Because he was a worshiper. He praised the Lord. He was left alone, and probably it was good for him. He had time to worship. He had time to be in the Spirit of the Lord. And the same Spirit that gave him courage and boldness, first as a shepherd and then as a warrior. He was comfortable in the Spirit of the Lord with the lions. And with the same Spirit, he came out against the Goliath. Because the same Spirit is with him. He knew the Spirit of the Lord. He knew the ways of the Lord. And do you remember this place of Scripture? Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Who can stand against the Lord? All the Israelites saw the Goliath, and they were afraid of Goliath because it's a huge problem, actually. It's not a small problem. It's not some giant. It's giant. But when David went out, his perspective was different. He saw the Goliath and he said, why do you afraid of him? I will take his head off. What's the problem here? Guys, what I want to point here, because completely two different mentalities. Completely different ways of thinking about the same situation. This is my message for today. The same in the life of Caleb. His victory did not happen suddenly. The same with David. It was not happened suddenly. You know, you drink coffee, live by your life, did all kind of sin, and now you came against the Goliath and have victory. No. It takes whole life of worshiper for David to stand against Goliath. It takes 40 years for Caleb walking with the Lord in the Spirit of the Lord to stand against giants. It takes the life of worship, life of sacrifice to the Lord. This is very important to understand and to remember. Living the way the Lord wants. As it says here, He always with me. He always followed after me. And this is why He was different from all the people. This is why He was different. Caleb's character and behavior were shaped by the trust in the Lord. So he dealt with problems and circumstances very differently, not at all like all the Israelites. His heart was confident in God and His victory. And I want to read something very important. And this is why Caleb carried with him God's mentality, God's mantle, God's presence, God's sight. And maybe you know some people who can enter the room and everything change around you. Maybe you are such person. People can sit in the room and just, oh, we are dying here. Everything's done. We finished. Let's go back, and somebody can enter the room in the presence of the Lord, and looks like light is turned on. Spirit of the Lord came in. Yeah, we can do it, actually. We can win. We can go. It's not such a problem. Because he was walking in the Spirit of the Lord. It was so important to remember. victories are not won on the spur of the moment. Victories are the result of lifestyle, of relying upon the Lord, of being confident in His leadings, of having faith in His word. This has led us to the victory in our life. And we don't know when trials will come, but if we follow the Lord and have a different spirit, we can see everything with different eyes. And I want to read from the Brit Hadashah, from Ephesians chapter 6. And please be with me, read with me, verse 13. This is the promise from Rabbi Shaul. He speaks in the spirit of the Lord to all of us in our hearts. The verse 13, and actually, whole chapter 6 speaks about the victory in the Lord, about armor of the Lord. Therefore, so let's give conclusion. Guys, I see the Rabbi Shaul speaks y'all. Pay attention here. Take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil. And after you have done everything, to stand firm. We don't know the evil time when it comes. So, when time is good, take armor then. Not when time is bad. It's too late. Where is my sword? Where I put my sword? You know, when time is bad already. You should have it on you already. You should be rooted in faith, in the word of the Lord. You should know the ways of the Spirit. You should have fellowship with the Lord when everything is good. So when time, evil time is coming, you are ready, you're prepared. You can go through it. And I like here this very interesting word. And after you have done everything, after you have done everything, and when you read about armor of God, it means you're a warrior. You're fight for the Lord. So what warriors doing? What they're doing? They're fighting. It means when you fight your fight, you will stand. You don't throw your sword, your shield. Let's go back to Egypt. Oh, man, it's too hard. No, you take the shield, you take the sword, you fight till the end. And you will be able to stand firm, strong. So we are vessels and we carry something inside of us. And only when we carry the Spirit of God, we can bring Him with us. And it will be obvious for the people around us. If the Spirit of the Lord is with you, it will be obvious for people. Sometimes it will be uncomfortable for some people. What to do? Sometimes it's not pleasant for us to experience this uncomfortableness. It's easy to say, yeah, let's go to Egypt. I'm tired from you. I don't want to say again. You remember one of the prophets who stands against other prophets? When king looked at him and said, I want to say something. He said, again. He said, everything is good, they're right. King said to him, no. Something wrong here. What do you know? So people of the Lord, we are people of God. We can walk in the Spirit of the Lord. One last thing I want to share with it, and it will be like last my thought. Caleb's faith did not change the situation immediately. Even though he had faith in the Lord, trust in the Lord, he should walk for 40 years with the people of Israel. With faith, with trust, with everything. You know why? He could say, oh Lord, it's enough for me. I'm going to fight with the giants by myself. I don't think it's a good idea. But he loved the people of Israel. He loved the nation of Israel. He had love to them. So he shared the difficulties for 40 years. He shared his love with those unhealthy, spiritual, not trustworthy people who was not good. So he decided to love them, to have patience to them, to spend his time with them, to share his faith, his love, his trust with these unworthy people for 40 years, actually 45 years. He was patient in faith. So he knew already the Lord gave him this land. He knew already he can enter this land. But he was with the people of God. It's so interesting for him. And I want to read his response. It's in the Joshua chapter 14. Always when I'm reading this, I'm excited. I'm excited always. So after 45 years walking with the people of Israel, now he is 85-year-old, young boy. Joshua chapter 14, from the verse 10. So now behold, Adonai has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years. So Caleb speaking to Joshua ben Nun, and he says to him, I'm alive. The Lord promised me I'm here. I want to remind myself to you, I'm here. Don't forget about me. Since the time that Adonai spoke these words to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old. And the verse 11. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, so is my strength now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this hill country. Give me these giants. I wait for 45 years. I don't want to wait anymore. All these giants on this hill, give it to me. I want to win. So it was his perspective. He couldn't understand this mentality of failure. He could not grasp it. He could not understand why they're afraid. Why they're afraid. He was sure in the victory. It was his mindset. Trust in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord. So, saying this, Caleb took the mountain with all these giants. Ate them together. Breakfast. It may take many years of obedience and humility, but when you are ready, when you're ready, when you're a worshiper, when you have armor of the Lord on you, the Spirit of God will come upon you and give you victory. The person to whom you witnesses for so many times will turn to the Lord when you're ready, when you're in the Spirit of the Lord. Circumstances that have not changed for such a long time will finally change, and you will know victory when it counts the most. Because not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for opportunity to be in this place, Lord. Thank you for opportunity to read your word. Thank you for opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, help us to walk with you, to hear your voice, to know you, Lord, to follow you. Help us to have your Spirit inside of us, to be filled with the Spirit of wisdom, to be bold in you, Lord. Help us to walk in the victory of the Ruach HaKodesh, even through the difficulties in our life, Lord. You promise that you will never leave us and never forsake us. You will be always with us, Lord, because you are our Father, you are our Lord, and you are our Savior. We love you, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And now I want to open time for invitation. If you don't know the Lord yet, if you are here or you listen podcast, if you don't have peace with the Lord through the Messiah Yeshua, I want to invite you to receive Yeshua as your Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to get in peace with the Lord, to repent, to bring your sins before the Lord, to open your heart, to allow the Lord change your heart, cleanse you, be your Lord and Savior. And I want to pray. If you are with me, pray with me. My Lord, Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I thank you for the great opportunity to listen to the words of life. And Lord, I want to repent in all my sins, Lord. Lord, I want to receive Yeshua as my Messiah and my Lord in my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. And I want to be filled with your Spirit. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together and let's finish and end the